Parampara means the descension of truth from the transcendent spiritual abode of the Supreme Lord into this material world. The transcendental message of Godhead is eternal, perfect, and complete. There is no flaw in the words of God. In this material world, everything is relative. In the spiritual world, everything is absolute. Because the personality of Godhead is absolute, and everything in the spiritual world is in perfect harmony with the desire of the personality of Godhead. Thus, nothing can exist there that is not on the level of absolute truth. However, this material world is a place of forgetfulness. It is a place where the living entities who have misused their independence toil and struggle fruitlessly, birth after birth after birth, chasing after the illusion of material happiness. Therefore, everything within this material world is relative. And all knowledge of this world are simply relative truths. Even if it is correct, it is relative, because everything is dependent on its source for its own existence. Krishna is the source of everything. Therefore, all the knowledge of this world through philosophy, poetry, logic, politics, it is all relative truth. It is all within the realm of illusion. It cannot bring liberation of the soul from the bondage of suffering. Thus, the Supreme Lord descends into this world in order to re-establish the principles of Parampara. Our great Parampara begins within this particular universe at the very beginning of creation. Tene Brahma Vidaya Adhukaviye. Krishna appeared to Lord Brahma and spoke the truths of pure devotional service. All Vedic knowledge and their conclusions were understood by Brahma by the mercy of Krishna. Vedaischa sarve aham eva veda vedantrita veda vedeva chaham. Krishna declares in Sri Bhagavad Gita, I am the author of all Vedas. I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Krishna is the beginning, the middle, the end of the Vedas. Veda means knowledge, but not the knowledge of how many people are in the state of Orissa, how many people have AIDS in Bombay, who won the First World War, how many trees are in Brazil. This is knowledge that is always changing. This is knowledge that cannot bring real happiness. Material academic education, at the most, it can give you some sense gratification for your mind and intelligence. But ultimately, it will frustrate you, because your mind and intelligence ultimately is looking for a way to get out of pain and suffering and a way to find real pleasure. But mundane education cannot give you that. What Krishna spoke to Lord Brahma was the absolute truth, the conclusion of all knowledge. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami mastasya. How to surrender to Krishna. And Brahma himself surrendered to Krishna. And this same eternal message of absolute truth has been preserved through the system of parampara, from Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas. There are four great disciplic successions amongst Vaishnavas. In honor of this principle of parampara, Srila Bhakti amongst Vaishnavas. In honor of this principle of parampara, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has established on the four sides of this temple the acharyas of each of the four Vaishnava sampradayas. Shripad Madhvacharya, Shripad Ramanujacharya, Shripad Nimbarkacharya, Shripad Vishnu Swami. Because we honor all of these great personalities. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the supreme absolute truth descending into this world, personally accepted initiation in the Madhva Brahma Sampradaya, but he also extracted the nectarine essence of each of those four sampradayas. And therefore we honor and worship them. And in doing so, we honor and worship the principle of parampara. Last night we were at the temple of Sri Tota Gopinath, discussing the unlimited glories of Srila Gadadhara Pandit. In the story, we heard how when Sri Ballabha Bhatt, although he was a very great devotee and a truly genius scholar, and also a very dear associate of Lord Chaitanya was overpoweringly harsh upon him in his own neglect and disapproval when he said that I have made a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam and I have rejected the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya said, you reject Swami, you prostitute. Swami, husband. We must be chaste to our husband. Why did Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu take such hard stand in this regard? Because he wanted to establish the great importance of honoring and respecting the principle of parampara, of being loyal and faithful and most respectful to all of our previous acharyas. Otherwise, whether we are liberated or not liberated, anyone can give so many interpretations. Even if your interpretation is correct, if we are not honoring the principle of parampara, we are establishing a new principle that anyone who thinks they're liberated can give their own opinion. According to the Vedic system, Vijnanartham Sugurum Eva Abhigajate, we must accept knowledge from Guru. And who is Guru? one who is who is repeating the message of the great sampradayas. Srila Prabhupada always told us, my only qualification, I am simply repeating what I have heard from my guru and the previous acharyas without adding or subtracting. That is perfect. The word muni often means that in order to be muni, you have to come up with a philosophy different than all other philosophers, and you have to defeat other philosophies. And all of the famous philosophers of the Western world and the Eastern world as well, who are not in Parampara, they are all wrangling with their own competitive ideas. What is Western philosophy? Every philosopher comes up with a new, unique, special idea that no one else has ever heard, and somehow or other logically refutes all the other previous philosophers, or at least adds something that they never said. And if they could do this expertly enough, they become famous. They become great personalities of history. But all they could do to people is give them somewhat of a deeper understanding of the illusions of this material world. They cannot give a person the real connection to the Supreme Absolute Truth. That only takes place through Parampara. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who was the beloved disciple of Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, was such a great acharya of our sampradaya. He was a courageous pioneer within the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya. Courageous in many ways. One is that he saw so much corruption in the philosophy, in the presentation of the philosophy, and in the behavior of practically all of the so-called leaders of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The nature of this material world is everything is deteriorating. If you build a brand new house, you know after 100 years, there'll be so many repairs that have to be done. It might be easier just to break it down and build a new one. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in Tirupati, Bombay. What year was it built?
1950.
About 70 years ago. Try to imagine what it looked like at the grand opening. People were probably coming from all over Bombay to see this beautiful, beautiful new structure. So big, so spacious. All the wood was shining. So strong. Now everyone looks and thinks, there's a temple in that place? So this is just the nature of everything. Whatever you build, whatever is new becomes old. Whatever is young becomes old. Whatever is born dies. Whatever is created is destroyed. So the same tendency that is there in religious principles. Great acharyas come and establish the truth, but due to the time factor, the nature is it deteriorates. unless there are very humble and pure-hearted devotees who are preserving the original truth. Within Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there has always been such pure-hearted great souls preserving the original truth as spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, and ultimately Vyas, Narada, Brahma, and Vishnu himself. The spiritual master sits on Vyasasan. Vyasasan means it's not his seat, it's Vyasa's seat. He's simply the representative of Vyas. If he speaks anything different than the words of Vyas, he should be kicked off the Vyasasan. That is the duty, the sacred duty, responsibility. Once we take such a position, it is utter cheating to give our own opinion about the absolute truth. Or how to achieve it. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda saw that although amongst people like Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and others, the pure unalloyed Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement of Krishna Prema was perfectly intact. However, the great masses of people who wore the Gaudiya Tilak and who are claiming to be the disciples of Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya were deviating terribly. He wrote a book where he described, I believe it is 13 Apasampradayas, each with various technical or gross reasons why they were deviating and polluting the true teachings and culture of Lord Chaitanya. And these great Babajis, they preached, and they also lived according to the real Siddhanta. But so many other tens and thousands of Babajis were polluting everything. Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw there was a great need for someone to stand up and publicly pronounce what is the real teachings of Lord Chaitanya and expose those who are misrepresenting. Amongst the middle class, the upper class, the intelligent class, the British, they had very low opinion of Lord Chaitanya's movement. This is very important for all of us to understand. Even if we are representing something perfect, but we are not living by those standards properly, the whole world will see imperfection in the perfect. Srila Prabhupada said, when the disciple misbehaves, the whole world will think, this is the fault of the spiritual master. He must not be very good. Even Krishna, when Vajaya and Vijaya offended before Kumaras, Lord Narayan came out and said, the fault of the servant is a blemish on the reputation of the master. So when there were hundreds and thousands of deviants in various sahajya or tainted Mayavad sects claiming to be the true followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya's perfect and pure reputation and glories were being stained in the eyes of the world. Ultimately, Lord Chaitanya's reputation cannot be stained. Lord Chaitanya is like the shining sun. However, these deviants were like clouds, dark clouds, covering the true glory of the sun from the view of the ordinary people of this world. And Lord Chaitanya's mission was to liberate the ordinary people of this world. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Vishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Vishnama. His mercy is not simply for a few Babaji's chanting in pure loving devotion. His mercy is meant to spread Prithivityachati Nagaradigram in every town and village throughout the world. That was his declaration. That is what he ordered Nityananda Prabhu. And that was when he was in Ramkeli. It was his prophecy. This is my mission. In every town and village throughout the world, the holy name of the Lord will be sung. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had captured within his heart the very essence of the truth of Lord Chaitanya's teaching and his mission. But he saw all around him so much opposition. The opposition of foreign powers trying to brainwash the people of India to think that their culture was third class and the culture of the West was first class. The power of Maya trying to allure people into so much objects of sense gratification, attachment to wealth, property, family affection, and all of these other mundane things. And there was so much opposition from bogus religions, Mayavadi philosophy, Sahajyaism, materialism. He fought like a brave soldier. He exposed that one bogus yogi who claimed to be Mahavishnu. And meanwhile, he was having conjugal love affairs with simple village girls. He exposed anyone who was not preaching the absolute truth in the name of God. He wrote books prolifically. He preached boldly. And he lived by that example. However, he was in the same mood as Sri Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya saw the predicament of people in this age of Kali Yuga, how corrupted and polluted they were, and how difficult it was for them to take to the process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw how the sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been so misguided, and how the people in general were hopelessly strangling themselves with sense gratification. Advaitacharya cried out with heartfelt prayers that the Supreme Personality of Godhead descend into this world to establish the absolute truth. In reciprocation of those prayers, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed. He knew that there's only one avatar of the Lord in this age of Kali. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kalki avatar comes at the end. Therefore, he did not pray for the Lord, because he understands the Lord's own will. He prayed fervently that Araya Vishnu, one of the eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descend into this world to help establish the truth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's true glory. Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived in this house, it was a house in this place, in Sri Jagannath Puri. He was a magistrate, and the government even gave him the service of overseeing the affairs of Lord Jagannath's temple. And by his own pure devotion, he established the highest standards of deity worship for Lord Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. It was here in Sri Purushottam Kshetra, in this very place that we are sitting now, that Thakur Bhaktivinoda's prayer was fulfilled by the Supreme Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. A ray of Vishnu, an eternal representative of Lord Gaurachandra from the spiritual world, descended into this world to take birth here in Sri Jagannath Puri. Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki. When this beautiful child was born, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body in the same exact way as the sacred thread is wrapped around the body of a first-class Brahmin. He was such a beautiful child. He was given the name Bimala Prasad, named after one of the very nice deities in the Jagannath temple, Bimala Devi. I believe all the prasad that Jagannath takes is first given to Bimala, and then it is given to the public. Similarly, the mercy of the Lord was given to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bimala Prasad, and then he gave that to the world. When little Bimala Prasad was hardly 6 months old, the Ratha Yatra took place. As we can see sitting here now, the grand road, the main street between Sri Jagannath's temple and Sri Gundicha Mandir, this house is just on that road. As Lord Jagannath's cart was being pulled by so many hundreds and hundreds of people, it came to a halt right here, immediately in front of Thakur Bhaktivinoda's house. In fact, it couldn't be moved, I believe, for several days. Lord Jagannath remained here, taking advantage of this wonderful, wonderful fortune. Bhagavati Devi, the wife of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, brought her recently born baby child to be blessed by Lord Jagannath. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was out of station at this time, so his wife came forward and was given entrance to climb atop the Rath. And with great love and devotion, she offered her little baby child at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. At that moment, the child spontaneously and naturally took the dust of the feet of Lord Jagannath. And at that very moment, a garland spontaneously fell off the neck of Jagannath and made a circle around Bimala Prasad. Everyone around was so joyful to see this very auspicious pastime of Lord Jagannath. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard this news, then he knew for certain, Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has fulfilled my prayer. His servant has come to establish the real cult of bhakti in this world. From his earliest childhood, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur manifested extraordinary characteristics. He had such determination. When he was only about 4 years old, he ate a mango, and his father mildly said, you should not eat mangoes when they're not offered yet to Krishna. I didn't offer it to Krishna. Then I vow I will never eat mango again for the rest of my life. He kept that vow until he left his body in old age. Have you ever heard of a four-year-old child with such determination? Simply extraordinary. By the time he was practically 8 years old, he had memorized the Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, but he could eloquently explain each verse. Sanskrit, Bengali, English. Great scholar. Our Guru Maharaj said, my Guru was, he was often called the living encyclopedia. Whatever he heard, he remembered. Whatever he read, he would never forget. Such a brilliant genius. When he was just very, very young, he studied astrology. He became the greatest astrologer. He dedicated his life to assisting his father in his mission. When he went to school, he would hardly study his books, but still he would get top grades. He would spend practically all of his time reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books. What is the use of all these other books? How will it help me? How will it help the world? But his father's books were revealing the absolute truth. It is explained how at one time there was a very, very great competition between the smarta caste Brahmins and Vaishnavism. The smarta caste Brahmins considered that no one can be guru, no one can give mantra, no one can chant mantra, no one can do puja unless they are born Brahmin. However, they were attacking the Vaishnavas. And true Vaishnavas from Vrindavan, from Navadvip, from Puri, from all places were very much being discredited. So there was a meeting, and the most exalted Goswamis of Vrindavan came for that meeting to protect what is real Vaishnavas. But they all unanimously agreed that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is our leader. He will be our spokesman. He is the one who can establish real truth and annihilate all illusions. By the arrangement of Lord Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur became very, very ill in his health. But he had complete faith in his son. He said, you go forward and you defend the true principles of Vaishnava. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, although just a young man, he went to that assembly. I believe it was in Midnapur. First, he began to glorify the Brahmins. And all the Brahmins who were assembled there, they were so much happy. Even though he was the principal spokesman for all the Vaishnavas, they were thinking, he's on our side. Just see, the principal spokesman for all the Vaishnavas, he's on our side, he's glorifying the Brahmins. He won their hearts, totally. Through half of his lecture. But to their great, great dismay, the other half of his lecture was explaining who is a real Brahmin. And what is a Vaishnava? This misconception was utterly defeated. And the people of the assembly, they were the general people who were coming to watch this wonderful event. They were cheering, applauding. What a great person, such a young man, so learned, so forceful, so pure, so empowered. Thousands of people came running to get the dust from his lotus feet. Thousands and thousands of people wanted the dust from his lotus feet after hearing him speak. Hare Krishna. The police were very much afraid. The security guards were thinking there's going to be a riot. So they had an idea. They took a nice big bucket of water and they asked Vimala Prasad to put his feet in it. And then they started throwing the foot wash on everybody's head, and everyone was very satisfied. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur requested his son to accept Vaishnav Diksha from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, completely immersed in the highest principles of renunciation and devotion. Although Bhakti Vinod Thakur was exposing and preaching in so many ways against false Babajis and Gurus, he worshipped the lotus feet of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And although Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was famous throughout all the lands as the greatest and purest renunciate, he accepted Bhakti Vinod Thakur as his own Shiksha Guru, even though Bhakti Vinod Thakur had a wife and 10 children and worked in a government position. Can you imagine how spiritually pure Bhakti Vinod Thakur must have been? If the greatest, most learned renunciates in all the world accepted him as guru, for no other reason but their spontaneous natural faith in his purity? Gaurakishore Das Babaji had never accepted a disciple. So many people came to him asking to be initiated, because he was so famous. But he did not like to see the sight of materialistic people who wanted something cheap in the name of real religion. Unless you were ready to surrender to Krishna and give up all material attachments, Gaurakishore Das Babaji was very, very strict. There are so many stories. One time, a wealthy man came and said, Babaji Maharaj, please initiate me let me be your disciple. He said, no. He came again and again and again, please let me be your disciple. Teach me. Lord Kishoredas Babaji said, no. Finally, when he came again, he said, all right, you give up your nice wife. You never see your children again. You never go back to your home or your job. And you sit under this tree with me the rest of your life and hear me speak and chant Hari Nam. And that man, by the time Gaur Kishoredas Babaji finished his instruction, he was already running home to his wife and children. This is what kind of a Babaji he was. So when Bimala Prasad approached him, I will not accept any disciples in my life. Bimala Prasad approached him several times. He was so sincere. He was so humble. One day, Gaur Kishoredas Babaji Maharaj said, I will ask Lord Chaitanya next time I meet him. So some days later, Bimala Prasad came to meet him. He said, did you meet Lord Chaitanya? He said, yes. Did you ask him? I forgot to ask him. Ultimately, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was literally crying and weeping and started pouring out what was really in his heart. That I should end my life. Unless one has a proper spiritual master to guide him, unless one accepts initiation in a proper sampradaya, this human form of life is simply a waste. It has no value or purpose. Therefore, if you will not accept me, O Guru Maharaj, then I will take my life. Gaur Kishoredas Babaji was a type of perfect personality who could see the inner content of a person's sincerity. The determination and the pure desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati conquered his own resolve to never take disciples. Srila Gaur Kishoredas Babaji gave initiation to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and never gave initiation to another person again. Upon the initiation, he gave him the name Sri Varshavana V. Devi Dayata Das. When Saraswati Thakur was going to college, he was a top student. At one point, it explains in his biography, he was thinking, if I get my college degree, then everyone's going to expect me to get married and get a good job and everything else. So you know what he did? He quit college. Simple living, I think. In this way, he dedicated his life. To assisting Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Gaur Kishoredas Babaji in fulfilling the true message of Lord Chaitanya, the true mission of Lord Chaitanya. Being groomed, taught, and understanding the inner spirit of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's desire. He began to preach so boldly. He was helping his father with the various printing presses to distribute Vaishnava literatures. After some years, Bhaktivinoda Thakur returned to the spiritual world. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj also soon left this world. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, seeing no one fit to perform this auspicious ceremony, he sat in front of a picture, a photo of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj at the Yoga Peet area in Mayapur Dham, and he accepted the vows of sannyas. Only such a Paramahamsa Vaishnava as himself could take sannyas in such a way. There's a beautiful story. When Gaur Kishore Das Babaji left this world, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati took a boat from the Yoga Peet and the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, where he was staying, all the way to Sri Kulia, or Koladweep, which is now Navadweep town. And so many of the Babajis, corrupted Babajis, they all wanted to take Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and bury him on their property, knowing that then so many people would come and give money. And also, in Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's last days, he said, "When I leave this world, take my body and drag it through the streets of Navadweep." So they were going to do it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati saying, that is his humility. It is not to be taken literally. He deserves to be put in the most fine samadhi with reverence, respect, devotion. But they were fighting over who would get his body. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur courageously stood forward and said, "Let he who has amongst you renounced Babajis, who has not touched a woman for sex life in the last year, come forward." Some of them started leaving. First they were all arguing. The police were there trying to make sure there wasn't a physical fight, battle, or riot over his body. These people were so passionately claiming his body. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, "I am his only disciple. Let any of you who have not touched a woman for sex life in the last month come and take my guru's body. My guru, he is completely pure. He cannot be touched by anyone who is not so pure. Let any of you who have not had sex in the last week." One by one, the Babajis were disappearing. "Let any of you who have not had sex in the last few days." Soon Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was standing alone with the body of his Guru Maharaj, and he brought him back to Sri Mayapur. Actually, first he established his samadhi in Koladweep, but then due to floods, he brought him back to Mayapur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in the grief of separation, actually at one point he made a vow to chant 10 million names of Krishna. He sat in a little thatched hut and all slept on the hard ground and ate practically nothing once a day. 1 billion names. I'm sorry. His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj. He vowed to chant 1 billion names of Krishna. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati fulfilled that vow, living in the most severely ascetic conditions, chanting day and night in ecstatic love. But some well-wishers who had great faith in him, they came from Calcutta and said, "Please, Guru Maharaj, come to Calcutta to preach. Start Bhakti Vinod Thakur's mission in a big way." Although he was feeling the pains of separation from his Guru Maharaj, his father, he went to Calcutta, and gradually, with the help of some other devotees who were sincerely assisting him, he began the first Gaudiya Math. I think it was called the Bhakti Vinod Asan at 1 Uttadunga Junction Road. There he was preaching. And gradually, the most intelligent, brilliant-minded people started coming to hear from him and surrendering their lives to assisting him in his mission. The type of caliber of people that Gaudiya Vaishnavism had not seen in many, many years, generations. Every evening, on top of the terrace, under the shade of a jackfruit tree, he would read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and give his discourse. One of Srila Prabhupada's friends, our Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami's father, named Narendra, had met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and was very impressed. He wanted Abhai Charan to come and meet him. Srila Prabhupada, Abhai Charan was very hesitant, because he had seen so many sadhus, so many sannyasis, so many gurus, and he was not impressed. So much hypocrisy. But he was convinced by his friend to come. When he went on that roof and he saw the beautiful form of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati sitting with his back straight, preaching like a thunderous downpour of transcendental rain in his words, Abhai Charan offered his obeisances. And as he was getting up, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him an order. "You are an intelligent young man. You should take this message of Lord Chaitanya and you should spread it throughout the entire world in the English-speaking language." At that time, Abhai Charan was a Gandhian. He presented various arguments. "The country of India has no dignity as long as we are under foreign rule. Who will listen to our message? Let us first get independence." Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, "The only problem in this world is a lack of Krishna consciousness. And the only solution to this problem is Krishna consciousness. It is an emergency. The absolute truth is eternal. Political powers are always changing. Everything in this world is always changing. We cannot wait. The absolute truth cannot wait for any other adjustment. It must be boldly preached now. Srila Prabhupada was convinced, and in his heart, he spoke to himself. He told us this, that when I first met my Guru Maharaj, and I was so happy to be defeated by him, I accepted him at that moment that this is my eternal spiritual master. That Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine mission is in good hands with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made so many revolutionary, genius adjustments for spreading Krishna consciousness and for clearing out all sahajism, all mayavadism, and all things that were not favorable for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, as was the desire of Lord Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He started printing presses here, there, in so many places. Thousands and thousands and thousands of books were coming off the presses, and his disciples were distributing them. He established 64 Gaudiya Math branches throughout India. He was the first Vaishnav in the history of all the sampradayas to send his disciples outside of the boundaries of India to various parts of the world to preach Lord Chaitanya's mission. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Now it is time for Archie. We'll end here and we will celebrate. Personality of Godhead and his divine representatives can be harder than a thunderbolt and softer than a rose. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada truly embodied this principle. In order to establish Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission in such a way that it could be spread throughout the entire world, he preached so bold, he was sometimes called Singha Guru. He preached like a lion. Anyone who was in any way influenced by Mayavad or other conclusions or behavior that were not proper, they would fear the very name of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. But to speak of his personal form, he was very bold. He taught his disciples, you must attack irreligion. You must attack misconception, illusion, and cheating. He was the personification of a fearless, bold preacher. Even people who are so fearful of how strongly he was preaching the truth that those who were exploiting and cheating the people in general on the basis of their caste distinctions or their misrepresentation of actual Siddhanta, they would sometimes make plots to assassinate Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvati. Once a police constable told him, they offered me lot of money just to keep quiet. They want to kill you. Usually we take such bribes, but I know you are a genuine saintly person, so I would not take, but please be careful. Because he preached so much strongly against the majority of the population of so-called religionists, so-called Vaishnavas. When he was doing the Navadvip Dham Parikrama with his many, many followers, people stood, caste Goswami, Sahajyas, with stones to throw rocks at him and his followers. But Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Sarasvati Thakur said that the dogs will bark, but the caravan must carry on. How he risked his life to give us pure Krishna consciousness. What a debt we all owe him eternally. Yet he was also, on most occasions, softer than a thunderbolt. I mean softer than a rose. But a rose is softer than a thunderbolt. Hari Bo, I'm sorry. I've been talking a lot. When people would come to offer their respects to him, even his own disciples, he would say, Dasosmi. I am your servant. This was actually his inner mood. However he acted, in whatever way, he was always in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. He was the very embodiment of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodapi Sahishnana. Amanina Manadena Kirataniya Sadahari. He was so humble, so gentle, so willing to tolerate anything for himself. But his humility manifested as being a perfect instrument of Krishna to be used in whatever way Krishna and the previous acharyas wanted to use him to fulfill their purpose. This is real humility. If Krishna, Guru, and the acharyas want you to be bold and attack, humility means to be bold and attack. To say no is a type of false pride. But he accepted no credit or honor for himself. During his Vyas Puja one year, when he was sitting, there's a beautiful speech that he gave, that I feel like I am a dog sitting on the throne of Vyas. Accepting your words of praise and flowers I have no qualification. But for your sake, I am accepting on behalf of our disciplic succession. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a true devotee representing the real essence of Lord Chaitanya's divine mercy. He is the one that trained up His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And our Guru Maharaj gave all credit for whatever success he had in spreading Krishna consciousness to the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Here in this most holy place of his appearance, which is supremely worshipable, we are very fortunate to pray for his mercy, to remember him in our unlimited debt to him. One time, our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, on disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was explaining his life. At the end of the lecture, he was saying, "My Guru Maharaj saved me. And he has given me this mission. I am asking you, appealing to you, please help me to fulfill my Guru Maharaj's mission." Srila Prabhupada never considered ISKCON his mission, but the mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings all over the world. He has appealed to us to help him in his Guru Maharaj's mission. This is the greatest way we could pay or attempt to pay our eternal debt to our great masters. There is so much more to say. However, for everyone's great happiness and enlightenment, I would like to request His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj to speak whatever is in his heart at this particular time. Hare Krishna.
Very happy and very much enlightened to hear the wonderful pastimes, narrations of the life of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Maharaj from the lotus lips of Srila Radha Swami Maharaj. As he so beautifully narrates these pastimes, bringing out the true quality of the personalities that he speaks about. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj gave the order that practically revolutionized the world. It brought about the revolution by giving the instructions to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to bring Krishna consciousness to the Western world. But again, he gave Srila Prabhupada another order. It was in 1936, 1 year prior to his departure from this material world. At that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's was experiencing a little bit of dissatisfaction, a little bit of disharmony within the devotees of the Gaudiya Mission. They had just received a gift of a brand new marble building in Calcutta. Devotees had, prior to that, lived quite simply, and now they had received a beautiful and quite spacious and luxurious building for the devotees to live and to continue on with their preaching. But somehow or other, some dissatisfaction set in within the minds of the devotees, and there was some quarrel about where different devotees would be living. And so Bhakti Siddhanta was quite disturbed at that time. And he was on the banks of the Radhakund, walking with his disciples, and Abhay Charan, Srila Prabhupada, was there. And he was still a grihastha. He had his young son with him at that time. And he turned to Srila Prabhupada in a very grave, very serious manner. And he says, "There's a fire in the moth." We have received this building, and now the devotees are, "I want this room, I want this room, I want this room." And so the spirit of preaching, the spirit of harmony and service to the Vaishnava had been disrupted by this recent gift of material opulence. And so he said, "If I had the opportunity, I would sell all the marble in this entire building and print books. Because by printing books, then he can very powerfully spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." He called it the Brihat Mridanga. The Mridanga is, when you play the Mridanga, you can hear the sound of the Mridanga some distance. But Brihat Mridanga means the great Mridanga. The sound can travel anywhere and everywhere. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj was very much thinking that if we could just print books on the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and the Vaishnava Siddhanta, this would change the world. So he told Srila Prabhupada, "If you ever get any money, please print books." Srila Prabhupada, along with his mission to come to the West, knew that this was the innermost desire of his divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta, to spread Krishna consciousness. And so Srila Prabhupada made that one of his top priorities in spreading Krishna consciousness. He worked tirelessly, translating into the middle of the night the Srimad Bhagavatam, spending, sometimes Prabhupada would say, "I would spend sometimes 2 or 3 days on one purport, just trying to understand what is the best way to present this message to the Western minds." And so Srila Prabhupada made that a priority in his mission in spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. And we can see today so many people have been benefited by book distribution. Srila Prabhupada noted that the communists were so successful in spreading their philosophy of communism around the world because they took up this particular mood of propaganda, printing books and distributing books widely. Prabhupada said this type of means of distribution is most effective. And I believe today, I'm not exactly sure what is the actual total, but we're reaching something like 400 million books, something like that, have been distributed in so many languages around the world, something like 52 languages, books I've been distributing. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta wanted this book distribution to be the instrument for spreading Krishna consciousness. So we can see today the devotees of Srila Prabhupada have taken up this mission very seriously. In one Vyasa Puja offering, I think it was also right around the same year, 1935-36, Srila Prabhupada wrote one poem in glorification of his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, his spiritual master. And he wrote one stanza, one phrase. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, when he saw it, he was amazed. He said, "Ah, Abhai, he has understood my mission. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast removed." He said, "This boy, he has understood everything. He has understood my innermost understanding." As Srila Radhana Swami was explaining earlier, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was so much thorough in his smashing of anything that was less than pure Sudha Bhakta or pure devotion to the Lord. And so Srila Prabhupada, we read or we hear his pranam mantras, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachayani, Nirvishesha, Shunyavani Paschatyatajikari. The world is filled with so many bogus, irreligious, less than pure presentations of spiritual life. And so Srila Prabhupada made it a mission to eliminate every aspect that was anything less than pure Krishna consciousness. Another story that I remember from one talk that Srila Radhana Swami gave was that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, many times when people would come to see him, he would ask them, these would be persons from the outside come, they heard about this great saintly person who may have been devotees themselves. He would ask them, "Are you a devotee of Krishna?" He would be testing them just to see what they would say. And sometimes when they would say, "Yes, I am a devotee of Krishna," he would say, "Ah, well, actually, I have no time right now. Please come back some other time." But if someone would say, "No, I'm not actually a devotee of Krishna. I'm actually a devotee of Krishna's devotee. I'm Krishna's devotee of Krishna's devotee. I'm servant of Krishna's devotee." And he would say, "Ah, yes, please sit down. We can talk." So we read, we hear, we understand the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that the two most important principles of Vaishnava activity and Vaishnava consciousness is to chant the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, congregational glorification of the Lord, and to become the humble servant of the Vaishnavas. These are the two principles that are very pleasing to the heart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta exemplified that principle in his life and teachings in so many ways. There's one nice little story that one of my godbrothers tells, Dinabandhu. He explains that Srila Prabhupada said sometimes your forefather's spiritual master is more merciful than your spiritual master. And sometimes they use the example that the father is instructing the son, and sometimes the father has to be very strict in order to get the message across for discipline and to make the son understand. This, as we say, sometimes stronger than the thunderbolt. But sometimes the grandfather is there, and the grandfather is a little more lenient with the child. Prabhupada used that example to sometimes say, "Bhakti Siddhanta, he's actually more merciful than I am." So Well, there was one such story that exemplified this particular mood. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, I believe in the mid-70s, where he had one cook. I think his name was Bhagaji. Prabhupada used to call him Bhagaji. He was in Brijabasi. And he would cook for Srila Prabhupada every day. Prabhupada liked his cooking very much. So Prabhupada's health was quite frail at many times. So Bhagavad Gita was worried. He's thinking, maybe I can make something that would be a little bit more healthier than for Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes we hear that devotees make the arrangements for health. And this is nice. So he was thinking, Prabhupada likes halva every day. So, actually I have this wheat germ. And wheat germ is much more healthier than ordinary farina. So I'll make Prabhupada some wheat germ halva. And he'll like it, and he'll become healthier. So he was cooking. He had this whole jar, a nice large jar of wheat germ. So he prepared this wheat germ halva. And so he was thinking, Prabhupada's really going to like this. He was just cooking away, and he was just making his wheat germ halva. Prabhupada's going to be so happy. So it was time for breakfast. So he brought in this wheat germ halva. He was really enthusiastic to present it to Prabhupada. So he put it on the table along with the other preparations. Bhagavad Gita said, oh, I made that special for you, Prabhupada. It's wheat germ halva. Prabhupada said, what? He said, it's wheat germ halva. It's very, very healthy. Prabhupada said, take this away. I don't want it. So, he was completely devastated. He was speechless. He couldn't say anything. And he was a very simple, a very gentle man. And so his heart was quite touched, pained by Prabhupada's denial of his gift. He was thinking, this is something I'm going to do to make Prabhupada happy and healthy. So he went into the temple room, and he was overwhelmed, but quite devastated. So he went before a picture of Bhakti Siddhanta, and he was praying. He said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, I just wanted to please your son. I didn't want to offend him. I really wanted to do something to make him happy. I thought his would help him. And he was just pouring his heart out in front of Bhakti Siddhanta's picture. After some time, he hears, Bhagaji, Bhagaji, come bring the halava, bring the halava. Prabhupada's calling. So Prabhupada, come bring it. So you see. Prabhupada wants the halva, so he comes back in, he brings the halva, Prabhupada eats all of it. Prabhupada said, yes, my spiritual master is more merciful than I am. So he was very happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Tomorrow we will be at the mercy of Lord Jagannath, having Harinam Sankirtan procession from Sri Jagannath Mandir to Sri Gundicha Mandir. The same journey that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates would take along with Jagannath Balaram and Subraja doing the Rath Yatra every year. So we'll be meeting in front of the Singhadwaram at 7:30. At 7:30 a.m. Aya means morning. And we'll have nice kirtan. We'll stop at the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens and spend some time there. We'll see the area of Balagandhi. And then all of you can go into Gundicha Mandir. Observe the beautiful gardens and the sitting place of Lord Jagannath. During the time he's enjoying the pastimes of Vrindavan. After that we will be taking bath in Indrajumna Sarovar. A very special place for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes with his devotees.